Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Joseph G. with the good news of 12-Step Recovery. Tonight is Monday, the 16th of January, 2012. This is the end of days, according to the Mayan calendar. We were at church a couple weeks ago, and it came up that they were taking deposits for a scout outing in 2013. It was very large, and they had that much logistics were involved that you had to pay the deposit this year for the 2011 for the 2013 outing. And of course, I raised my hand and said, "If the world ends in 2012, will refunds be made available?" I got a laugh, and one fellow turned around and he says, "Well, that doesn't make any sense. If we're all dead, why would you need a refund?" And a guy behind me said, "See, he gotcha." This is Monday Night Rewind. So what we're going to do is we're going to be playing the broadcast from Saturday night. So there'll be no live in calls. If you want to listen to it, that's great. Or if you want to go to the archive and do it, that's fine too. But that's right now. This is the way it's laid out. So here you go. And I hope you enjoy the information. This is Joseph G., rumradio.org. Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Joseph G. with the good news of 12-Step Recovery and Rum Radio and rumradio.org on the Sober Couch and the Rum Radio Networks. We'd like to thank WNAH out of Nashville, Tennessee, Hoyt Carter and Tony the Horse, who bring us live over Nashville, parts of Kentucky, and Arkansas borders. We're available of a million households, all clamoring for this message of sobriety and recovery. Well, if they aren't now, they will in the future. I'd like to thank RecoveryToday.net magazine. They're running another one of our stories, Spiritus Contra Spiritum, that's Spirit in the Ravages of Spirits. That was a letter title sent by Dr. Carl Jung, that's J-U-N-G, the noted psychiatrist at the time, and the competitor to Sigmund Freud. Jung was more of a spiritual kind of psychologist, and Freud was more of a physical temporal kind of psychiatrist. It's interesting that they were sort of like the Macy's and Gimbel's of their day. I'd like to also thank our co-host, Harold B., who takes up his time and his energy to help us with getting out the word on Rum Radio. Harold does work in the family, Harold, a family, dysfunctional family area, bringing the good news, and he's a professional in this area, helping families trying to rebuild shattered lives. And I'm a firm believer that how the family is the basic unit of our society, and how goes the family, how goes the society. Harold?
Thank you. It's nice to be with everybody, and I'm glad you tuned in. And thank you, Joseph, for those comments. I, too, think that the family is the key element, the foundational element of society. I want to take a minute to tell everybody that Joseph has put together his website, rumradio.org, in order to emphasize working with others, how to find a sponsor, how to be a sponsor. He has invested considerable money in making this all happen, and of course he earns no money doing it. It's his way of giving back. I really admire that, because there's nothing to compare with working in intense work with another alcoholic to make our recovery really solid. So thank you for being here, Joseph, and thank you for having me on also.
You're welcome. The only thing I could say about that, let me try this. Someone clearing their throat. That's enough about me. Would someone else like to talk about me? Thank you, Harold. That's very nice of you to say that.
All right.
I enjoy the work. I get. I wouldn't do it if I didn't enjoy it, and I believe that this is a big help. I think this will be something in the future that'll help AA as a whole and people in general to get a better life. And what a blessing it is to have found this opportunity, this mission. You know, I've been able to turn my life from an intermission into a mission, which is really quite the blessing. I've been given talents and ability to accomplish this task. But it's not about me. The credit for this work goes to God and the fellowship, and that's where it's supposed to go. So I'm just an instrument that's honed down to be of maximum service to God and my fellows. As we grow spiritually, we grow in effectiveness, and I believe Rum Radio will attest to the fact of the effectiveness of that ability. But, like I said, it's not really about me. This week, we're going to be doing the next step in the sequence that we're doing. Eventually, all these are archived on the Rum Radio Network. If you go to the rumradio.org website, there's a banner, and the banner will take you to the archives, and you can listen to this on MP3 on your computer, or you can download them. Eventually, I'm going to have them set up on the website themselves, probably a little red button next to the step or something where you could actually download the whole episode and then listen to it at your leisure in your car, which is sort of like rolling universities. I wanted to get into step 10. 10. Continued is the big word, continue, to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. Well, that's pretty simple stuff. Post haste, with the help of grace, step 9 is close behind. We put down the heavy lifting for the Simonize brush and the high polish chamois. In other words, we've done some of the heavy work already. We've done the 4th and 5th step, the 6th step that separates the men from the boys and the girls from the women. We've asked God to take away our character defects. We've gone out to our fellows. We became willing to go out to our fellows and clear the wreckage of our past. Now we're cleaned up. Okay, so we got a new set. We're, in essence, at this point, we're born again. I like that Charlie Daniels song about that, the devil in Georgia. And I think one of the refrains was, it's not any easier to be born once as it is to be born twice. It's quite, if you were there at your birth, believe me, ask your mother, it was not an easy task. But we've come to a new understanding, a spiritual growth. By then, we probably should have had, if the steps were done correctly, if not a spiritual experience, which usually does happen to some degree, larger or smaller, at least by now, a spiritual awakening is starting to occur. Harold, would you agree with that?
Yes, in the book, Bill W. talks about the two types of awakening. There's sudden and the gradual. And I think most people experience the gradual awakening. That's what I experienced. Although he was in a room and it was flooded with light. I was reading about that in some AA material the other day, and that must be something, but that it really isn't most people's experience. It's a gradual awakening. In some of the literature, it says that we must not have a disdain for spiritual principles. Three that are very important are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And so that's the sort of awakening that we're talking about in working the steps, a willingness to be honesty, to be honest, especially honest with ourselves, a willingness to be open-minded, and on occasion a willingness to be willing. And that is that's the spiritual awakening that I've experienced. And I pray for my sponsees as well. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. We're going to get into that in a little bit more detail, but for the time being, Extra, extra. Read all about it. Step 10 continues without end. Oh, my goodness. The pages in the big book that cover step 10 are pages 84 through 85. And step 10 in the ANA 12 and 12, pages 88 through 95. These are the questions I pose to my sponsees, but I have them ask them to read these pages in the big book. And then to answer these questions after the reading, using that reading and their personal experience. And then we go over it when we sit down and work the step. Why does the step begin with continued to take? Question mark. What does the phrase personal inventory mean as used in this step? Why is the process of taking an inventory important as admitting when we were wrong? Question mark. What are the actions we are supposed to take each day in order to work the 10th step? Question. What does it mean to be wrong? And why are some recent examples of being wrong from your own life? 6, what are major character defects and how are they likely to show themselves in behavior that requires the application of this step? 7, what does it mean to promptly admit when we are wrong? Why is it important to promptly admit it? Are you willing to 8, are you willing to make the commitment? That's a big word with me, and the effort necessary to work the step one day at a time. If you resist this step, 9, what if you resist the step, why do you think you're resisting it? Question. And 10 questions, 10 step, how will you know when you have taken this step? It goes on forever. Coming to a movie house near you, turn of sanity. With his ever faithful companions, reality and normality. The AA Big Book tells us sanity has returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it from a hot flame. We act sanely and normally, and we find that this has happened automatically. We are on a constant vigil looking for our character defects that manifest themselves by and through the wrongs that we do. We've entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. Some folks say that 10, 11, and 12 are the maintenance steps, and that's fine. I think of them as the growth steps. I don't think we really maintain anything in AA. The big book says our spiritual condition, our sobriety is contingent upon the maintenance of a daily spiritual condition. Of course, the question is, what maintains itself of itself? Nothing. Nothing I know of. It's either growing or declining. And if you're spiritually declining, your recovery, if not your sobriety, becomes tentative. Step 10.
My sponsor, let me jump in, and I had a wonderful sponsor, Paul Z., and a big guy, tall, wide, strong, and very convincing. He said that our recovery, our spiritual growth, our sobriety is like trying to walk up the down escalator. If we try to stand still, we will move backwards. But keep moving and we can manage to make some progress. But there's no standing still. We're either growing or we're regressing. What do you think of that, Joseph?
Yeah, I like that. A body at rest, a body in motion tends to stay in motion. A body at rest tends to get drunk. The step 10 is steps 4 through 9 in a single package. This is a condensing of all the previous work that we've done before. The closets have been cleaned, and all the skeletons and denizens of the deep are fast asleep. What was once made wrong is now made right. Step 10 tells us how to maintain this new state of mind, peace, serenity, and guard the freedom of a new kind. All monitors, please check your daily inventory to see if there are any character defects lurking around the darkest corners. Please check to see if they have a temporary pass and all documents are in order. We need to take prompt corrective action as needed to keep our slate clean and our side of the street from filling with unwanted debris. I have a sponsee that goes to a, and I've gone sometimes for a step, an after nine meeting. Did you ever hear that, Harold? An after nine?
After nine meeting. Say more about that.
After nine, when I first heard it, I thought, oh, is it after 9 o'clock? It's steps 10, 11, and 12. And that's all they do in that meeting. It's an open meeting. It's AA, NA, OA, on and on, anonymous, whatever it is. Everyone's welcome. And it's just steps 10, 11, and 12. And so 1 week will be 10, the next week will be 11, then step 12, and then they go back to step 10, after 9. So I had a fellow in there was a meditation guru, and he said that 10, 11, and 12, we really don't do anything. And when it was my turn to share, I says, we might not do anything, but we do it with enthusiasm and aplomb. I didn't agree with that. I think there's work to be done, 10 and 11 and 12. It's what keeps us on track. And this enables us the ability to grow in our own program. You know, it's nice that we sponsor people. That's great. Bill W. said, the one. If you really, what is it, the intensive work, the one assurance we have sobriety is intensive work with another alcoholic. This activity works when other activities fail. That's sponsorship to me. Other people have other concepts of it, but that's sponsorship. Now, there's 12-step work that can go along with that, but intensive work is not driving an alcoholic to a meeting. That's not intensive. Intensive work is working the steps. That's intensive. And by doing that, we help ourselves. But I've been in a position, someone shared this in the meeting. Matter of fact, Amanda shared it in a meeting, and she said that she was working with so many sponsees that she was not working the steps herself. She was vicariously working the program. Isn't that interesting? And what I noticed, I have a tendency to do that too. I don't know why. Is it because we're kind of lazy when it takes to, I'll speak for myself, that I'm kind of lazy when it comes to me doing the work. Now, it's easy for me to get you to do the work, but then when I have to do my own work, look at myself, it's a lot harder. It takes a lot more work. That's where, to me, that's where the crux of this really is looking through the glass darkly, face to face, looking yourself in the mirror, and accepting what you find and be willing to examine that and, if necessary, change that. Harold?
I had a wonderful experience in Detroit working with some recovering alcoholics there and going to some meetings and listening to one man in particular work the 10th step, and he said this was so important to his spiritual growth and such a vitally important part of his rigorous honesty. And what he found himself doing was during as he spoke or told a story, he would often exaggerate, you know, how the fish becomes bigger and there were more of them, and his sponsor helped him put a stop to that by insisting that as he was telling the story, if he began to exaggerate, he had to stop, apologize for bending the truth, and then state what was actually true, and explaining that he misspoke, and what it was, what he actually should have said or meant to say was this. So he used that as a practice for months and years. As he would speak and exaggerate, he would have to go back and immediately stop himself in mid sentence and correct the story so that he was rigorously honest about it. And in a short time, he had broken himself of that habit. But that's what this step is about, is when wrong, when lying, promptly admit it. When, I can catch myself being selfish, being self-centered, wanting to be self-serving. And now this is why it is so valuable to work with others, because you can see me much better than I can see myself. I need your perspective on me, as we've said in many of these steps, and that's the way this works, is by a willingness. When I ask you to please give me feedback on what you see, what you hear from me, that is one great way to become rigorously honest. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. I'd like to give out the phone numbers in case someone's out there that'd like to give us their experience, strength, and hope. I'd like to join in the discussion. I have two guest call-in numbers, 760-825-0940. Again, 760-825-0940. And in New Jersey and Westchester County, no, anywhere, 949-534-0621. 949-534-0621. Either one of those numbers will get into us. It's either the Rum Radio or the Sober Couch stations. Yes, thank you for Harold. On the website, there's a section called in the Captain's Table. It's a drop box. It's called Now I Lie Me Down to Sleep. And it's part of it is the self-examination. Matter of fact, the story you just said, I had a similar story. I heard from, what was his name? John. It was John Kay. And in Austin, and he's a Christian writer, and has wrote several books. Highly intelligent, a man of letters. And he shared in a meeting one time, and I was there, and it was early on in my sobriety, that he would lie. He would make these little lies up to bolster his ego. Just little things, but you wouldn't think a fellow like that, who is already accomplished and known and respected in many communities, would do that. And the way he said he broke this habit was that when he lied to you, he would stop and tell you that he just lied to you.
Yes.
And he said it really worked well. He said he caught himself every so often, but less and less, because the pain of having to do that was greater than the acclaim that he would get from it. You know, I always like to think of a lie is always sweet when it's first tasted and then sours in the mouth, where the truth is sour when it's first tasted and then sweetens in the mouth. So I heard that, and I said, gee, you know, I'd have the same kind of deal going. You know, my mother told me growing up that if you lied and never admitted it, there would always be a question as to what the veracity of it. It would never be known for sure whether you lied or not. How do you like that one? And so there was this girl at church, and she was interested in a relationship or whatever, and she emailed me, and I didn't want to connect with her. So she come up to me and she said, oh, did you get my email? So my first instinct was, Oh, you know, no, you know, electronics, it probably got lost, or, you know, a lie always takes at least another leg. A lie can never stand on its own two feet. It always needs a crutch of some type, or several. The deeper the lie, the greater the number of crutches around us. Web we weave when we first practice to deceive? What a tangled web we deceive when we first practice to deceive, and the tangle gets bigger the lie. So eventually I girded up my loins, which means I tucked in my shirt, and said, no, I just lied to you. And that was hard to say the first time. That was very difficult. She looked at me, you know, because no one had ever said that to her before. I said, no, I did get your email. I lied to you. And she didn't know what to say. She was kind of taken back by it. I don't think she was insulted as much as she was just kind of amazed that someone would have said that. And at first it was hard, and then I felt kind of relieved. I felt like, like I found a new toy. You know, I got something here. I felt really good that I admitted the lie, you know, right away. And so that evening I was talking to my brother, Robert, and I was lying to him, and I stopped, and I said, Robert, I said, I just lied to you. And he didn't miss a beat. You know why? Because he knew I always lied to him. Harold?
I love what Dr. Scott Peck says about all this topic in his book, The Road Less Traveled. And he very artfully explains that it's much, much easier to tell the truth. Because to lie, number one, we have to remember what we've said and who we said it to. And we've got to... And number two, each lie then has to be covered up by a successive lie or a string of lies. And so we end up with a fantastic number of interwoven lies we've got to remember. My memory just isn't that good anymore. So he explains that if you tell the truth, you don't have to have that good a memory. You just explain it. And it comes to the surface anyway. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. Yeah, my dad used to tell me that. He would say that unless you have a really good memory, you might as well just tell the truth. They're going to figure it out anyway. Working step 10 means adopting a new way of life that requires continuous commitment and effort. The difficulties and rewards of this step come from applying it to our lives day after day, month after month, year after year. The trudge is on. To go beyond, we need to step with direction and with firmness of purpose. That's what trudge means, to walk with purpose. Shoulder to shoulder, someone said too, but it's to walk with purpose. The trudge is on. To go beyond, we need to step with direction and with firmness of purpose. It is an essential part of the 12-step spiritual program of what the AA Big Book calls its design for living that keeps the 12 promises coming true in our lives. Inventory control, minimize damage. Inventory control minimizes damage control. No inventory, it's crash and burn. The AA Big Book and the 12 and 12 describe the way in which we are to work the 10th step. During the day, we take a spot check inventory whenever we find ourselves getting tangled up. At the end of the day, we take a personal inventory to review the events of the hours just passed. Our personal inventory at the end of the day is the form of a balance sheet, which we include the inventory, what we have done right, the positive inventory, as well as what we have done wrong. This way we get out of morbid reflection. Whenever selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, or fear crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly. If we have harmed anyone, Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Harold?
That is so important, so powerful. What a paragraph. Whenever selfishness, dishonesty, resentments, or fear crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. So when we become aware of them, we ask God to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. So that's four and a half great steps. We keep our awareness turned up. When we see something crop up, we ask God. We discuss it with someone immediately. We make amends quickly. And then we look around for someone to help. Real power-packed paragraph. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. We forgive when the fault is elsewhere. That was hard for me to swallow, being the natural victim that I am. Did I tell you that I had a doctor give me a letter saying that I was a natural victim?
Wow.
I have paperwork. A lot of you guys just say so. I got it in writing. I have documentation.
You're a certified victim.
I am. He said he had it. I was able to get away with something because he believed that I was a natural victim. And what I've come to the understanding in my life is that oftentimes than not, if not all the times, through my actions, thoughts, and associations, I put myself in positions to be harmed. And the natural consequences of that is victimhood. Victimhood sometimes can be as heady as whiskey once you've grown for a taste for it.
Wow.
Find fault with thyself rather than others. Tsuyu Takawawa. Love and tolerance is our code. I will go with you, Charlie Brown. The golden rule, the man with the gold makes the rules. No, not that one. Do unto others, but do it to them first. No, not that one either. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Yeah, that's the one. The AA 12 of 12 asks, aren't these practices joy killers as well as time consumers? That would be a big no. A continuous look at our assets and liabilities and a real desire to learn and grow by the means are necessities for us. Most learned people that in all times and all places have practiced unsparing self-survey and criticism, for the wise have always known that no one can make much of a life until self-searching becomes a regular habit, until he is able to admit and accept what he finds, and until he patiently and persistently tries to correct what is wrong. The unexamined life is not worth living, as the life in recovery is to die for. Harold?
That's wonderful. I love the combination of ideas that are here. And if any of you are listening and would like to read along with us, this is all a posting on the website, rumradio.org. And Joseph has put in a lot of time and talent into the writing that's on the website. I really have gotten a lot of good out of it, and he continues expanding it. I think the next step is to make it all audio, so you won't even have to read. You can click and listen to these things. So I look forward to that. This is great as everything's improved here. So let's continue on, Joseph.
Sure. Thank you, Harold. We no longer have to scratch at quick random movements. The AA 12 and 12, I have it titled The Pause, P-A-W-S, that refreshes. We no longer have to scratch at quick random movements like a cat. The paws.
Oh, I get that now. Some of your humor goes over my head a little bit.
PAWS, the pause that refreshes. We no longer have to scratch at quick random movements. The 12 and 12 suggest that in doubt about what to do, we can always pause, saying, not my will, but thine be done. I might not always be right, but I'm never wrong. Well, hardly ever. Sometimes you have a choice. Do I want to be right, or do I want to be happy? It's humbling to admit.
Let me interject in there. My father-in-law had the greatest sense of humor. It was very dry, kind of British humor. But he used to say, I was only wrong one time, and that was the time when I thought I was wrong, but I was really right. Do we want to be right, or do we want to be happy? Joseph?
Yeah, Harold, I put this on another post, is that I'm right happy when I'm right. Was it? I'm happy when I'm right, or something like that, when I'm right happy. I don't know. I'll have to pull it up. Sometimes you have a choice. It's humbling to admit to being wrong. It is full-scale frontal attack to the ego. We are wrong anytime we act out of our character defects, whenever we live in our self-centeredness. For example, when we participate in the name-calling, shame, and blame game, rather than accepting responsibility for what we have done. Maybe I can get away with it. If I can't dazzle them with brilliance, maybe I can baffle them with finely spread bull butter. When we lie to protect ourselves or our image, we are wrong. We are judgmental. When we are judgmental, self-righteous, or demanding, it's my way or back to the lonely highway. In time, it becomes mine, lock, stock, and character defect. The longer we delay in our admission of wrongdoing, the more we take possession of them. My sponsor would tell me, if I need someone to rationalize, minimize, and justify any wrong behavior, I will call you. When you're Johnny on the spot with a humbled admission, it helps us to recognize our character defects with a post-haste act of contrition. A quick admission dampens the spark to anger's hot short fuse. The prompt admission we make is an amend, and if damage was done, reparation is quickly taken in tow. I've also learned that crow is eager to eat while it's still warm. Harold?
There you go. That's the key. That's well said, and having someone to work with on this really, really helps a lot.
Yeah, the accountability of a sponsor. That's what that's all about.
That's right. That's right. Quickly admit it when we're wrong. Joseph?
Thanks, Harold. Time to get ripped in the spiritual gym, or do you want to be a girly man who drinks again? We exercise our spiritual muscle with the weighty manners of honesty and accountability. Only through vigilance and willingness in the prompt admission of our wrongs is our only hope to stay in a fit spiritual condition. An AA saying, the monkey might be off my back, but the circus is still in town. It must be understood that a complete and total amends includes not repeating the same behaviors. It is for this reason step 10 follows step 9. It keeps us from repeating the wrongs of the past.
It's related to step 6. It took me a long time. Years to really comprehend what step 6 was about, and that is, I wondered, why wouldn't we automatically be entirely ready to release these awful defects of character? And the answer was so simple, it escaped me for a long time. We're not ready to release a defect if we're still using it every day or two. So this step connects with that, in that if we're promptly admitting it when we're wrong, that really helps us with becoming entirely ready to have God remove it. And that part of it was, that part of it escaped me also. I thought I could remove things, but it really is a willingness to have God remove it and then humbly ask God. So and step 10 is very humbling also, to promptly admit it when we're wrong. I like it. It's very important. Joseph?
Thanks, Harold. You remember the Star Trek movie with the Borg? Resistance is futile. We resist this step. We resist step 10 anyway. Why? Part of the answer may be that we resist humility and the deflation of our egos that accompanies it. As the 12-step saying goes, we still want what we want when we want it. We are still too often self-will run riot. Pogo the alligator. Remember Pogo? The Louisiana alligator cartoon? I think his most famous saying, and it was, he had a few, but this is the one I really honed in on. It's several times on in the website. We have met the enemy, and he is us. It is a spiritual axiom that every time we are disturbed, no matter what the cause, there is something wrong with us. We have become so used to blaming everything and everybody for the way things are and how we feel, including God. It seems strange and unnatural to think that we may be the cause of our own unhappiness. Are we the architects of our own demise? The AA 12 and 12 named several causes of the self-disturbance: justifiable anger, resentments, jealousy, envy, self-pity, and hurt pride. In some cases, on a deeper level, we can recognize our own resolved character defects in another's behavior. An A saying, if you got it, you got it. Another A saying, when you point an accusatory finger, there are three fingers pointing back at you.
Boy, this is such an important section. I really, I think it bears repeating the sentence. It is a spiritual axiom that every time we are disturbed, no matter what the cause, there is something wrong with us. Wow. Remembering that and reminding each other of that. Very,
you don't hear that from
key.
The pulpit very often. I tell the folks at my church, it's a fundamental church, and I'm trying to get AA in the rooms as AA and not as a, what do they call it, like
celebrate recovery?
Yeah, well, like, no, it's like I don't want it morphed. I want it pure. You know, this is the way it is, and I believe that's the way it's supposed to be. So I tell them they want Jesus and Heavenly Father as the higher power, and they have a hard time with the hedonist or the agnostic, the atheist, Islam, Jew, you know, all of that. All the people that Jesus was with, you know, they have a hard time with, they don't get it kind of deal. And I explain, I says, if the 12 steps are not a gift from God, why have you adopted them? And if they are a gift from God, why do you feel compelled to change them? You have to give them milk before you can give them meat, otherwise they will perish. It's scripture. Hey, there you go. And this is what I believe. This is spiritual kindergarten. Come one, come all. We have no judgment against you. We love you and we want to help you, because by helping you, we help ourselves to a better, stronger, and happier life. Harold?
Amen. That's all I can say to that. Amen. These steps are a wonderful plan for living, And I believe they came from God. You couldn't convince me of that years ago, but I've seen them work, and the way they work is undeniably from a divine source. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. Let's see, that's it. Only when we understand the source of our unhappiness can we do something about it. A spot check inventory is taken in the midst of such disturbances. It could be a very great help in quieting stormy emotions, taking action before the tempest in the teapot boils over. A call to your sponsor can give a fresh and cooling perspective. I also suggest to my sponsees that they get a list. Early on a beginner's, like a beginner's packet, or have a sheet go around where they have at least a dozen or so names of men that they could call. Now, I might not be available, so I'm not the only guy that they could talk to. There's other people that's their lifeline. They might be out of town. I might be out of town. I might not be incommunicado for whatever reason, and they need to talk to somebody. Carry that list, at least initially, in your pocket, or at all times. Like the American Express card, never leave home without your lifeline list. But the sponsor is a good one to call, you know, and then we discuss what's going on and what step we're looking at. Your lucky day, the governor has called with a reprieve, but it's only for today. One day at a time. A quote from the big book in step 10, we are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. I would ask, and then I go into what maintains itself, nothing of itself. You're either growing spiritually or you're declining. And for your declining spirituality, surely your recovery and even your sobriety becomes tentative. The big book says, every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are the thoughts that must go with us constantly. God's will for us in recovery includes the removal of our character defects, an ongoing self-appraisal, a daily inventory, and the amends we need to make constitute the footwork we do toward the removal of our character defects that might block us from the sunlight of the Spirit. Harold?
Yes, I call it pray and move your feet. So let's continue, Joseph.
Sure. Step 10 is deja vu all over again. Step 10 is applied daily. It has never worked in the past tense. It has always been worked. Step 10 and 11 combination help us to keep our egos in check and keep our self-will under wraps. There's a knock on the farmer's door. A neighbor asks to borrow the farmer's axe. I would lend you my axe, but I'm building a well and I need my axe, states the farmer. The neighbor relents and says, well, thanks anyway. If you need your axe, you need your axe, and leaves. As the farmer closes the door, his young son was standing behind the door inquires, Dad, you're not building a well. The farmer replies, Son, when you don't want to do something, any excuse will do. It's easy to make excuses to avoid working the step 10. The best defense is a good offense. Self-discipline, prayer, and a savvy sponsor with the understanding that the problem with discipline that it takes motivation. The problem with motivation is that not now becomes never. You like that, Harold? I made that up.
I like that a lot. That's very practical. The problem with discipline
is it takes motivation. And the problem,
and the problem
motivation
with motivation takes
not
discipline.
Now becomes never.
Yes. Yep.
With Stalin.
I like that.
There are two rungs in the 10-step ladder, taking a regular inventory and promptly admitting when we are wrong. I apologize so much I get dizzy. Isn't that enough? Have you ever run into people, Harold, that just apologize continuously? I'm sorry. We even get apologies
now. They apologize for breathing.
Yeah, and it's the same. They've gotten into this habit of doing that. It's a form. I believe it's a form of grandiosity in reverse. In other words, they're always trying to apologize, and instead of, you know, some people can't apologize, which is one end of it. These folks are always apologizing, which is the other end of it.
Yes.
I think most spiritual concepts have a duality or plurality to them, and I think this is something like that. But they're not coming to the end of the spiritual understanding. We apologize when nothing else can be done. Sometimes it's the best you're going to do is just apologize. But, of course, the key is not to do it again. So to turn around a couple minutes later and apologize again, you've missed the whole point of the step. What part of the words don't you understand? There are two suggested actions in step 10. The inventory is so we can continue in black and white our ongoing character defects. And second, we promptly admit we are wrong in the long run, and this is for the long run. In time, our need to apologize will lessen. We don't have to apologize so much because we're not doing so much wrong stuff anymore. You remember Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Yes.
Remember this one? Bullwinkle. Watch me pull a rabbit out of the hat. And Rocky, that trick never works. This time for sure. Bullwinkle J. Moose. A daily working of step 10 is a habit to be developed, and habits are developed by repetition. How do we determine the step has been taken so we can move on to step 11, since the 10-step process continues on for a lifetime? There's no definitive answer. The air is rare at these high altitudes. A Sherpa guide can see us through. Tenzing Norgay to the rescue. You know who that is?
No.
He was the Sherpa guide for Sir Hillary on the first attempt or the first conquering of Mount Everest. He was the Sherpa guide. Tenzing Norgay.
Yes. Now the British call it conquering Mount Everest. The Sherpas from that area call it befriending Mount Everest.
I like that. Very natural.
Yes.
The American Indians like that too. They believe everything, and I kind of got to go along with it, has a spirit to it. And I believe everything before it became temporal was first it was spiritual, and then manifested itself in matter. But that's my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. A good guideline, however, is that the step has been taken when your sponsee has worked the step long enough to develop the regular habit of self-examination and has gained enough humility and willingness to promptly admit to their wrongs. On the basis, three criteria can be used to determine whether or not your sponsee has taken the step then or as follows. And when I wrote this came a lot out of Hamilton B's 12-step sponsorship, how it works. Actually, I don't really agree with that criteria that he has to work it long enough. The longer I've been in as a sponsor, and the longer in the program of recovery, I believe that timing has a larger value, greater value than thoroughness. Now, the big book says thoroughness will pay off and will pay off handsomely, but I don't think we should sacrifice timely for thorough. I think it's more important for the sponsee to make the commitment get started, and then move on from there. It's really his call whether he's going to follow up on this. I can only make suggestions as a sponsor. I'm not his teacher. I'm not grading his papers. I'm not giving him a yardstick that he has to complete to finish the step. Basically, we go over the information, and he makes a commitment, and then maybe on the next visit I'll ask to see, or just not even ask to see, just ask him if he's been doing the writing. If he doesn't want to do the writing, he don't want to do the writing. I can tell him what I believe the consequences will be if he doesn't do it that way, but after that, it's still up to your sponsee. I'm not going to hold the guy back. I could just tell him what my experience, strength, and hope is with that particular step, and we move on. If he refuses to do the writing, I know a lot of people that don't do the writing. I disagree with that. If you don't do the writing, I think there's a consequence. Your spirituality will suffer because you're not doing a thorough self-examination. But, you know, life is on life's terms. And if you want to stay sober and get a happy, joyous, and free life, you'll take the suggestions. If you want to take longer, what's the term, Harold? Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. But I believe for the purpose of this that the commitment and the beginning of it is sufficient. Just like the ninth step, a lot of the amends aren't going to be, if you waited for them to do all the amends, you'd lose every sponsor you had. Some amends can't be made. It takes a lifetime to make some of these amends, and some can never be made. So now what? Harold?
Yes, living amends. We've got to keep moving. And the main thing is to, the spirit of it, that we want to, I like your guidelines and your experience where you have the folks work through things in about a week. Why don't you say more about that?
Okay, I have a fellow right now that's putting on the website, Michael M. out of Chicago. And he takes his sponsees through within, some of them, 24 hours. The Dropbox is called 12, capital N, comma, 24, 12 and 24, Dr. Bob times 5,000. There's a little a thumbnail biography of Michael. Then I put the an overview of quick drying glue. He's going to tell you, that's telling you what he's going to tell you. We're putting on the steps now. We have the first 9 steps, the readings out of the big book, expectations and all that. And then we're going to finish 10, 11, and 12. And then the last one I suggest he write to tell you what he just told you. And he does it in 24 hours. Now, initially, when I heard that, it sounded a little absurd. But, I think he's telling me that his stick rate with his sponsees is between 70 and 90%, which, by the way, from my understanding, was what the stick rate was back in the beginning. So it kind of confirms that the way they did it originally was really the way. And that we've kind of dragged it out a little bit more than necessary. And I think once the pain goes away, so does the motivation for the steps. And then we become addicted to going to the meetings and not working the program of Alcoholics Anonymous as it was designed. We just keep coming back, whatever that means. Keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. And a lot of folks drop dead. They can't come back because they're dead. So I'm a real believer in that. Let me finish this. Is there a continuing commitment to put forth the effort that the step requires? Yes. I require the continuing commitment. A few days is sufficient so that we can remain timely, as all the steps, within the exception of step one, are ideals. All step work is suggested. If there's evidence of steps' daily application in your sponsees' lives, have they developed the habit of spot-checking inventory when wrong? Do they promptly admit it? And that can be done on the phone calls he'll still be making to you. We can be you can discuss that if you think there's something going on with that. Does your sponsee have a sense of God consciousness? Have they begun to develop the vital sixth sense? When all three criteria have been met, your sponsee has taken step 10 and is ready to take step 11 with the reminder that step 10 is never completed. It goes on days without number and years without end.
That's wonderful. And that takes us down to 2 minutes. You
want
to do some closing comments?
Well, I have about the spirituality, the difference between, I have that on the site, and I thought long and hard about that from my own personal spiritual experiences. The spiritual experience comes in short time, short burst, bright light, something that's undeniably outside the realm of common understanding and everyday occurrences, unmistakable, short period of time. The awakening is line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's doing the next right thing on a regular basis. No matter how profound the spiritual experience, if you don't continue on by developing the awakening from doing the work, you might as well not even have the spiritual experience. It won't hold you. It'll only hold you so long. I know guys in the program that have 5, 10, 20 years and more who are living on the spiritual experience they had that many years ago and failed to expand their spiritual experience. So this is the deal. By working the step, working step 10 and do this on a regular basis, we're coming to the spiritual awakening. Bill W. had the experience. Dr. Bob had the awakening. So...
yes.
Well, I set it up for an hour and a half, so we have a few. We're off air now on in Nashville, 10 o'clock. The clock's up, so we're off on Nashville. But we finished what we needed to finish up. The goal.
Yes, I think that was a great job as you wrapped up the material right as the clock turned 10 o'clock.
I guess it was God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. Anyway, okay, so do you have any last thoughts, Harold? Or?
Well, we've really imparted a lot of information and great concepts for recovery, and I hope it helps a lot of people, not only tonight, but as people listen to the archives.
I think this will go on for a long time. It's good work. It's all programmed, good understanding, and I think that we're doing a good job. People might not know of us, and maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. I believe that's the case. The claim of men is an abomination to God, so it's about God and the fellowship. That's who gets the credit for this work. I'm just another cog in the wheel. And God's given me a talent to be maximum service to him and my fellows. That's it. There's no
that's
more
it.
Than that, and that's sufficient to its need. So this is
yeah.
Joseph G. thanking everybody. Thank you, Harold, for taking the time. And
you're welcome.
See you on the radio, from radio.org.
See you on the-